Our first reading comes from Numbers. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We now make confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Thank you, musicians and children especially, for the beautiful music that adds so much to our worship service. A new sickness is spreading across the globe, and all of us are being hit with all sorts of news stories about that. And I know there's two opinions about that. Some think it's pretty serious. Others think that some of it may be a little exaggerated. Either way, a wise person should be prepared. The Bible speaks about these things. Jesus, in one of his last sermons, the Sermon on the Mount of Olives, described the final days of this world. From the time of his ascension until the time of his second coming, we should expect wars, famines, and pestilences. John, also describing the same time in his Revelation chapter 6, spoke of four horsemen, one of which rode a pale or greenish horse. His title, his name was Death, and he was given authority to bring upon God's judgment upon this sinful and willful world, to kill with sword, famine, pestilence. Are we approaching a time of something like that? I don't know. I don't think anyone can know for sure, but I know how to be prepared. It's in that beautiful passage that so many have wisely memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. No one wants to hear this, but they have to. And that is the cause, the root of sickness and death is sin. And we have to recognize that and realize that in order to find the ultimate cure for all of this. Ezekiel the prophet said so simply, "The soul that sins shall die." Paul said, "The wages of sin is death." James said that sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Understanding that root helps us. To deny that root is to only put us in a pit of confusion and of despair and of terror. But what about those who dismiss God and who think what I just said is the stupidity of religion? Those who would cast God off and try to view the world without him, they also have some serious questions with which they must wrestle. For example, why is there disease anyhow? And why do we die? If life just happens by itself, as they suppose, well, why doesn't it just keep happening? And why don't we live eternally? And why have human beings, since we know all the way back to the beginning of civilization, have been concerned about death, have always buried their dead, and not walked away from them like animals? Why do we honor the dead? Why do we have, whether we know the Bible truths or not, have some hope of eternal life? These are serious questions that call for real answers, not just, I just don't know about that. Don't dismiss God. Don't dismiss his word. There's much to learn and much to find out there. Disease and death, according to God's view of the world and our view of the world, these things are invaders. These things are not part of God's original creation. They're not right. Job said, "Your hands made me an intricate being." When sin enters into that intricate being, things begin to fall apart, and death is the result. Nicodemus met with Jesus one night and had some questions for Jesus. He sensed that there was something good. This must be a man who comes from God. That was in the back of his mind. But before he could really get into any of his questions, Jesus just cut so hard to the real heart of the matter when he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Literally, in the original language, it is also translated, "You must be born from above." Both translations are true. It's not just being born again in a natural way. Nicodemus obviously knew that. He said, "I can't get back into my mother's womb." But it's a special kind of birth, another kind of birth, a birth of the Holy Spirit, of the water in the Spirit, of baptism and the forgiveness of sins and of faith. That is what gets to this root of sin and the cause of sickness and death. Jesus reminded Nicodemus of the children of Israel and how they had rebelled against the Lord in the wilderness. And God sent poisonous serpents among them that destroyed many of them. But he also, whenever God brings his judgment, he's also always bringing his salvation. And so he told Moses to raise up a bronze serpent on a pole, and that when the people looked and believed, that cure of the snake bite of sin and death would be healed. Jesus once went to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, as the Bible tells us, with a high fever. Now, most people would run and flee from a situation like that, but Jesus went to her, and the Bible specifically says he touched her and he healed her. The prophet Isaiah, Matthew refers to him, pointed out that this is what the Messiah would do. He took our illnesses and our diseases. And as you continue reading in that passage, you see that it's not just the physical diseases that he healed, but always the spiritual. It goes on to say he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. Death and disease originate from sin, but Jesus is the one who has defeated sin and thus has taken away the fear of disease and death. So what does this mean for us as Christians living in the year 2020? What does it mean for us when we see all of these news reports of this spreading disease and wonder what could be the final outcome of it all? Well, it teaches us that we do not fear these things as our ultimate enemy. The Christian church has been around for 2,000 years, and it has seen its way through some very serious plagues. In AD 250, there was a plague that ravaged the Roman Empire. As many as 5,000 people a day were dying in the city of Rome. Because this particular plague created so much hemorrhaging, people today, historians and doctors, think the disease may have been something like Ebola. This disease became known as Cyprian's plague, because Cyprian was a Christian pastor who lived through that plague, and he described the plague in his sermons and in a book that he wrote. He also tells about how Christians faced this plague, how many of them helped the sick, buried the dead, and some of them succumbed to the plague themselves and died, but they died in faith as martyrs. In Martin Luther's time, the bubonic plague, the Black Death, was ravaging Europe. Luther wrote a famous little pamphlet, Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague. In that pamphlet, he said that some people should escape to save their lives, but the political leaders and some pastors especially should stay to serve and to help the sick and the dying. To those who stayed and faced the plague, Luther wrote these comforting words: If Christ shed his blood for me and died for me, why should I not expose myself to some small dangers for his sake and disregard this feeble plague? If you can terrorize, Christ can strengthen me. If you can kill, Christ can give me life. If you have poison in your fangs, Christ has far greater medicine. Should not my dear Christ, with his precepts, his kindness, and all his encouragement, be more important to my spirit than to you, roguish devil, with your false terrors in my weak flesh? God forbid. Get away, devil. Here is Christ, and here am I, a servant in this work. Let Christ prevail. Amen. In 1918, a terrible plague afflicted the entire world, and particularly the United States. It was called the Spanish flu. Many, many people died from this terrible flu. There's an interesting story that comes out of the town of Kearney, Nebraska. Kearney was where I was a pastor before I became pastor here at Good Shepherd. But a long time ago, in 1918, there was an Orthodox priest by the name of Father Nicola. Father Nicola was in the city of Kearney trying to take care of his flock. And because this flu became so bad, the city outlawed all school classes, all religious gatherings, and any public gathering of any kind. Father Nicola, however, continued to visit his people home by home, bringing the gospel and especially caring for the sick. He himself succumbed to the Spanish flu and died. But listen to his last words that he spoke to his two sons. These are telling words for us. Keep your hands and your heart clean. Everybody worries about hygiene and sanitation and face masks and all those kinds of outward things as people worry about plagues and diseases. But Jesus, talking to Nicodemus and to us and to everyone, would tell us, be clean, not only in your with your hands, but with your heart. This is the only way to face all sin and disease and death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Powerful words at any time, but especially in a time of fear. Though the judgment of sword, of famine, of pestilence must come, there is one who was raised on that cross and raised from the tomb to give us life, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. May God bless us, give us the faith and the strength and the courage to take away fear and to give us a spirit of service and love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Dearest Lord God, thank you for the life that you have given to us in Jesus. Bless us with this faith and help us to be your salt and light in this world, to bring forth the ultimate cure of sin and disease and death that you have given to us. Amen.